Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study of the Gospel of John. As you know, for the past several weeks, we've been doing devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John, and we're going to continue today. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come together, to fellowship around Thee, and to study Thy Word. And we pray that this study would be a blessing to those listening today, that the saint of God that are already saved, that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that are trusting in His shed blood alone and nothing else, to save them from going to hell and giving them a home in heaven, and to pay for all their sins, would be encouraged today and edified in the things of Thee, Lord, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for those who are listening today that are lost and on their way to hell, they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have never trusted in His shed blood alone to pay for all their sins and to secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that in their heart, that they would believe that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and they'll trust only in Jesus Christ's shed blood and nothing else to save them. And Father, we will rejoice in heaven with the angels over one sinner that repenteth this day. Father, now we commit this time into Thy hand. We ask You to have Your will in Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we begin in John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse number 28. So let's turn to John chapter 7, verse 28 and read the verse there. Then cried Jesus in the temple as He taught, saying, Ye both knew Me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of Myself, but He that sent Me is true, whom ye know not. Do you really know Him? That is the question that we all should consider, because this world of unbelievers seldom sees Christ manifested in anyone. Our text reveals the events at the great temple feast in Jerusalem. Twice at this feast, our Lord cried out. Once was in our text, which was a cry of rebuke, and the other in verse 37, the cry of pity and compassion. We read, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. In our text, Jesus made a statement that might seem a mystery, yet was a great truth. Jesus said they knew Him, yet they knew Him not. Look with me at what Jesus said. First of all, they knew about Jesus. He said, You both know Me, and you know whence I am. You see, this crowd had looked upon the Lord. They had seen the miracles He performed. They heard the great truths that fell from His lips. They knew all about Him. You see, the average person has heard about Jesus since they were a child. They have been exposed to the teaching about Him all their life. They know about Jesus. Second, they knew why He came. Jesus said, I am not come of Myself. You see, over and over, Jesus had preached to this group of unbelievers and tried to convince them of the purpose of his coming into the world. He often referred to the prophets of old who had written of his coming and the purpose for which he had come. Ask almost anyone if they know why Jesus came, and they will be sound and straight in their answer. The average will tell you that Jesus came to die for sinners. The third thing, they didn't know him. Jesus said, "But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." Jesus told them that they had seen him and knew why he came, and yet they didn't know the one who had sent him. They didn't know God. And the only way for them to know God was through Jesus. Therefore, they didn't know Jesus Christ. What a shame to have a generation like ours that have been enlightened about Jesus Christ, who he is and why he came, yet the great majority don't even know Jesus. Beloved, it is not what you know about Jesus, what you know about the church, what you know about preachers, what you know about singers, or what you know about religion. You see, the real question is this: do you really know him? There is only one way to know Christ, and this way has been the only way from the beginning. Let me show you from God's word how you can really know him. The first thing I want us to see is you can know him by the conviction of the Holy Ghost. You can really know him, Jesus Christ, by the conviction of the Holy Ghost. No person has ever been saved just when he or she gets ready, nor at their convenient time. The only time a sinner can and will get saved is when the Holy Ghost of God speaks to them and convicts them of their sin. In John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." This is why I plead with a person that has lifted their hand, because I know that God spoke to them. And I am well aware that if God doesn't speak to them anymore, they will never be saved. The possibility that God might give them up makes me tremble. We are told at least two times in the Word of God of this possibility. God said in the days of Noah, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he wrote this, "And God gave them up." My friend, if God is dealing with your heart today, making you aware and conscious that you are lost and that you need to be saved, don't push him away. Don't spurn the call. The second thing I want to say is how you can really know Jesus Christ is contrition of the hardened heart. Contrition of the hardened heart. You see, contrition means broken and repentant. And while this seems to be out of date in this modern day religion, it is still the Bible way of salvation. A sinner must be broken and repentant. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I know and you know that we have churches filled with members who have come for membership, never convicted, never repentant, and they still live the same old sinful life. When you witness to such people about the word, they reply in this manner: I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing. The way to know God is through a broken and contrite heart. In Psalm 34, verse 18, the psalmist wrote this: The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The third way that you can really know Jesus Christ, according to God's word, is conversion of the heavy soul. Conversion of the heavy soul. There is no load like the load of sin on the soul. There is no burden like the burden of a wicked life. There is no yoke so binding as the yoke of Satan. But thank God we are invited to the burden lifter, the sin forgiver, and the yoke bearer. Listen to me, what Jesus Christ invites everyone. Here's an invitation to all in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. God doesn't invite sinners to come to him and then save them away from the same old load to commit the same old sins, but rather, he lifts the burden and forgives the sin, takes off the yoke of Satan, and places on us his yoke that is pleasant, easy, and restful. Every Christian would testify of the moment when the load of sin was lifted that it felt as if the whole world was removed. My dear friend, we are not promised a bed of roses nor a life of ease. But once we have been saved, that burden of sin will never, ever weigh us down again. Before we move on to our next passage, I ask you this. Do you really know him? Do you really know him, my friend, as your Savior? Now we want to turn our attention. We're still in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. But now we want to look at verses 37 to 43. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 43. We read this. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him drink. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, This is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Time is so important when you are dealing with souls. Therefore, the time of this event is important. Matthew said it was the last day of the great feast, the Feast of the Tabernacles. You see, many people had gathered together in Jerusalem for the great feast, and soon they would be returning to their home. It would be 6 months before the next feast, and then even many of these would never return because of sickness, age, and death. Jesus extends an invitation with a great promise. Every time the church service is over and the congregation begins to leave, there is a sad thought that never will the same crowd meet together again as they just are at that time. You see, someone will never come again. Some will become victims of sickness, hindrances, obstacles, and even some may die. There will never be another time when we gather just as we are now. Therefore, we are motivated by this fact to exert all our energy and effort to reach the unsaved for Christ, just as he did on that great day of the feast. There are three important factors in these verses that I want us to consider. First of all, in verse 37 of John chapter 7, I want us to see a crying Savior. A crying Savior. We read in verse 37 of John 7, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried." This was the second time during the feast that Jesus had been moved to lift up his voice over souls. In verse 28, the scripture says, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught." At that time he was moved because they had rejected him even though they knew who he was. Then on that last day of the great feast, Jesus looks over this great multitude. He stands and cries, inviting whosoever will to come. Love for lost souls should cause any preacher to be moved with deep compassion, tears of love, and begging souls to be saved. A great preacher of the past said this, "If we could see what Jesus saw and feel what Jesus felt, then we would do what Jesus did." Amen to that? The second thing I want us to see in verses 37 to 38 of John chapter 7 is a glorious offer. A glorious offer. Jesus said, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The offer that Jesus makes to this multitude in the closing hours of the feast is the same offer that he has made to every generation and is the invitation to every unsaved person today. Let's look at some things about this glorious offer. First of all, it is a sacred offer. It is a sacred offer. Jesus said, "If any man thirst," you see, God is no respecter of persons. And the offer is not made on the basis of what you can do in return, how good you are, or even how mean you are. The offer is made to every soul that is without the living water. A second thing about this glorious offer, it is a simple offer. It is a simple offer. Jesus said, "Let him come unto me." While everything necessary has been done to provide salvation for you, you see, the choice is entirely left up to every individual. You must be willing to come to Jesus. And if you are not willing to be saved, no preacher or Christian worker in all the world can make you. The third thing I want us to see about this glorious offer, it is a sure offer. It is a sure offer. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me." The Lord has not demanded anything of us that we could not do. The one thing that every one of us can do, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe, we can be sure He will save us. My dear friend, what a glorious offer He has made to a world that doesn't deserve it. But now look at the promise we have. If we will respond to the invitation. In verse 38 of John 7, Jesus said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You see, it was a custom of the Jews on the last day of the feast to observe a ceremony whereby they called the pouring out of water. They brought a golden vessel of water from the pool of Siloam into the temple, and with the sound of the trumpet, they would ascend the altar and pour out the water before the Lord. You see, Jesus promised something better than that for those who would believe on Him. Jesus spoke of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life and how they would possess the living water that would never, ever cease to flow. We're reminded of what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 14. He said this to her, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The reason that I call this a glorious offer is because something glorious happens when an unsaved person responds to the gospel invitation. Our last point I want us to see in these verses in John chapter 7 is a divided people. A divided people. In verse 43 of John chapter 7, we read this. "So there was a division among the people because of him." You see, the result of the message in the invitation was that some believed and some didn't. In verses 40 to 41, we read this. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee?" You see, my dear friend, understand this. The preaching of the gospel always brings division among those who hear it. Some are gathered to it, and others are gathered against it. Jesus reminds us of this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. He said this, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." So he came not to bring peace, but to bring division. And that's exactly what the gospel does. I'm talking about the true gospel. I'm not talking about the so-called social gospel today. Amen. You know, you come to Jesus and you're going to get all this, that, and the other. All your problems will go away. No. The gospel brings division. It brings divisions in families, between brothers and sisters, between children and parents, between husband and wife. See? It brings division. And not all that hear it are going to accept it. Many will reject it. But thank God for those who come to hear it and believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, which is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there in the first four verses. Let's turn there. Maybe some of you today that are listening have heard some preaching of a different gospel. But this is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. By also ye are saved." Paul is telling them this is how you're saved, by this gospel. "If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Very important. According to the Scriptures. According to the Word of God. That is the gospel, my dear friend. You who have heard this message today will join one of the two groups. A believer, a saved person, or an unbeliever, lost and without Christ. A crying Savior. A glorious offer in a divided people. What a glorious difference it can make in your life if you will but respond to the invitation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what an awful end could come to you who reject him. And let this opportunity pass by without being saved. Because the Bible tells us if you die in your sins without believing that it's only Jesus Christ shed blood and nothing else that can pay for all your sins and secure you a home in heaven, that someday, my dear friend, you will end up in a lake of fire, literal burning fire for time and eternity. My dear friend, the decision is up to you. Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you today for joining me for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless you, and good day.